Can you hear me up clearly? Can you hear me clearly?
Amen. It's great.
I just want to talk to you this morning about the vision for our local church. It's just a vision, little in a nutshell, a little snippet. And by the grace of God, he'll help me get through this in a short period of time. It won't be long. Let's just pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would help me to declare your goodness, to declare your plans, and to declare your heart for your people. I pray, God, that you would help me to do so without limitation, without flesh, or without self-desire, but for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, because of things that have been happening this week, I felt the need to refocus, help us to refocus on the vision of our local church. I believe that sometimes there can be a confusion of where we are going as a local body of people and what God is intending for us to do. So I wanted to bring some clarity this morning, if that's okay, and help us to focus again, for all of us to get on track to where God is headed. I'm really kind of sad that not everybody's here this morning, but God understands what we need to do here this morning, yes? Now, our vision statement, where's my, oh no, he's disappeared. I need help. He's gone. It's on the desktop, Joel. It's called vision. So our vision statement is simply this, is we want the ability, we want to give every man and every woman and every child and business in our community the opportunity to hear the gospel. We want to give every man, every woman, and every child and every business in our community, we want them to have the opportunity to hear the gospel. And that's for us here at Lake and Heath and also our other site at Biggles Wade. We want the same things. We want people to hear the gospel. But in order to do that, it's going to require us to be a little more creative than we have in the past. Because in order for us to fulfill the plan that I think God has for us, it's going to take more than one person. It's going to take more than one ministry. It's going to take more than just me doing my own thing. It's going to take a collective, concerted effort by a body of people who have singleness of heart for one thing, and that's to make Jesus real and famous in the community. It's going to take more than what we've done before, but God, by His Holy Spirit, is going to have to bring us a revelation, creativity, and innovation for what He wants to do in the future. And that's going to be more than what we've experienced before. Can somebody say amen? Amen. I think it's good that we have what we have and we've done what we've done, but God wants to do more. And so we have this creative, in order for us to be able to deliver what I believe God is bringing to us, in order for us to be positioned to give people the opportunity, we have to be creative in how we position ourselves. It cannot be accomplished, as I said a minute ago, by an individual or a person or a single ministry. It's going to require all of us, a concerted effort. Now, in Acts chapter 1:8, when Jesus said to his disciples, he said, I'm going to give you, I want you to tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power. I want you to become my witnesses. And what God is talking about, what he wants to do, is he wants to be able to empower us to do things that we've never done before. He doesn't want us to keep doing what we've always done, but he wants to do in us and through us something and things that we never have before. And in that text, it says, I want you to do it, and I want you to do it in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And what that means is, for us, God wants us to do something locally, he wants to do something nationally, and he wants to do something internationally. And God wants to do more than what we've already done, but by his power, he's going to enable us to do it. And can I just say at the onset of this whole thing, it's not just me and Lisa or Joe and Claire or Rich and Amber, but he wants every one of us in this body to do something that would glorify his name, that would cause him to be seen by the people in the community as a real God, not some fictitious historical figure, but a real God who is able to do something real in their life. Can you say amen for me in this place? And that's what God wants to do. And so our desire, my desire, I know the things that Lisa and I are praying about, is for us to do things that are not necessarily normal as Christian activity, but something abnormal, something great that glorifies the name of Jesus. I've said it in many contexts before, but wouldn't it be great that if we go to the co-op supermarket, and suddenly we notice that there's somebody who's hurting in their heart, but you wouldn't visibly see it on the outside, but we're able to walk up to that person and say to them, Jesus knows your problem. He knows what you're going through. He knows what's on your mind, but he died to deliver you from it. He died to give you hope. He died to take away the pain and the burden and to uplift your heart so that you can have hope. Wouldn't that be good news? And that's what God wants to do, I believe. I believe he wants to do that kind of thing. So just bear with me. Locally, we're seeing God do some really very glorious things. There's Rich with the Dad's Project. And Julie now is taking over the pizza in the pub, where we go into the pub, we share pizza with people and share the goodness of Jesus. We're seeing God do some great things. And it's great. And I think he wants to do more. I think in the days to come, he wants to do something there's been a famous ministry out there called the Healing Rooms, and I want to bring something, what I feel in my heart is the Miracle Room. I believe God wants to do miracles. And how many of you believe God still wants to do miracles? He still wants to do that. And I believe we need to confront those spirits out there by bringing something to them that they're able to connect with, not just a practical way, not just by way of feeding from our food bank, but an encounter with God that leaves no doubt in their mind that God is alive. Are you hearing me? And that's what I want, and that's what I'm desiring. And so by the grace of God, we're going to see that. I believe God wants to do something with our creative ministries department. I believe we have people who can go into the community and perform impromptu skits or whatever that would reflect the glory of God. We have great people in that creative ministries. And I want to tell you, if you aren't involved and you want to be involved in something creative, that is the thing for you. That is a powerful thing. And I don't want to just plug one ministry, because everything is doing great and everything is equally important. But I also want to say something about Man Talk. That ministry is near to my heart simply because it establishes men, and it causes us to be men, and it causes us to rise up and be the kingdom man, the thing that we're going through right now, to be the kingdom man in the community. And so we're learning that God has a purpose for us as leaders in our homes, leaders in our community, that he just doesn't want us just to talk the talk, but he wants us to walk the walk. And so as we stand and we glorify him in this, God is going to do something great through Man Talk. Besides that, we got great bacon and pancakes at Man Talk. Really, really good. And we want to see God come upon our streets. You see, the desire is for me is for God to move upon our streets with power and with reality. He wants to move. He wants to walk through the streets of Lake and Heath in every aspect with not just the normal Christian routine thing, but a demonstration. Listen, we need to see a demonstration of power in our community. We need to see it. And so I believe God wants to bring that to us. I believe. Now, we want to see God do those things. And I believe he wants to assist us on those three areas, in those three levels, locally, nationally, internationally. One of those, oh boy, one of those ministries that we're going to be looking to introduce here is a friend of mine. I work with a group in Sheffield called the African Diaspora Missions Network. And the director, our director of that network, is a young man named Ebenezer Aki, and he is also one of the directors for a worldwide global organization called Simply Mobilize. And one of the courses in Simply Mobilize is called Kairos. Now, I don't know if you could read that, but it says in Kairos, what they're going to produce, it's the desire of that group is to, the Bible tells us that God's heart is for all people and from every nation. And Kairos course unpacks this in a light of scripture, history, and what God is doing today. It will help us explore how we can reflect God's heart for the nations and in your situation. We all have a part to play in God's global mission. Kairos can help you discover yours, whether you be at home, in the UK, or overseas. So what this course is going to do is enable every one of us to find our purpose. Because, see, that's the number one heart of a lot of Christians today, is they don't know what they're supposed to be doing in God. But I'm going to tell you, and we discussed it at Man Talk yesterday, if you would adhere to the general purpose, you will find your single purpose. Amen. If you would adhere at bringing the gospel to the people who have never heard of it before, you will find your purpose just simply by obeying that. Amen. Are you hearing me? So that's the next step. So what we're going to do, let me take it to the next slide, Joe. This is the final slide. And this is what it will bring, understanding to the Great Commission. It'll define our church's existence because we exist for a specific purpose. We exist. We're not here just spraying out stuff. We are here as a knife edge to accurately cut where God wants us to cut. And that's what it'll help us do. It'll help us build a vision for an inclusive and unified church, help us mobilize church members to start right where they are, sharing Jesus with all who don't know him. It's going to help us. How many of you sometimes you're afraid of telling people about Jesus? And this is going to help us get it done. How many of you want to be able to get it done? Let me ask that question. And this is going to help us. And so it'll mature God's people as they find their place in the kingdom of God. One of the biggest problems of Christianity today in the body of Christ is the lack of maturity. I'm not coming down on anybody, but it is the truth. The Bible says in Galatians 4:1, an heir, as long as he is a child, he differs nothing from a slave, though he will be Lord of all. It is the lack of understanding of my purpose that keeps me limited in my function. But God's going to change that in the days to come. Are you ready for it? I'm going to ask you again, are you ready for it? I mean, because it's coming. And that's it, Joe. You can take that off. Thank you. So I believe this group, this organization that I'm working with, is going to be able to facilitate us increasing our productivity locally, nationally, and internationally. It will help us get to that place. I believe we're living in times when there is a radicalness out there that is standing against the kingdom of God. And in order to override that radicalness that's out there, we have to become radical. And the Holy Spirit has always been radical. He's always been in the process, with the idea of causing the church to rise and to be innovative in how they present the gospel. In Acts chapter 2, when the church was on the day of Pentecost, a lot of us, we sometimes focus on the aspect of speaking in tongues, but it wasn't just about that. It was about enabling people to communicate the gospel in a way that only the people who needed to hear it could understand. The Bible says they all heard the gospel being spoken in their own language. And beloved, I don't know how to communicate in my natural ability to a lot of people that's out there, but I do know the Holy Spirit can enable me to do it. I don't know how that some of the needs that are out there, I don't know how to address them, Sister Lisa, but the Holy Ghost knows how to address them. I don't know how to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, but the Holy Ghost knows how to do it. And when people are broken in their heart, I don't have the words that would heal their heart, but I know Jesus, through the power of his Spirit, has exactly the words that people need to hear. Come on, beloved. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you this morning? Well, if you can, give me a shout so I know you're alive in this place. Luke. And I know that's it. You know, this week has been a phenomenal week. It's been an Acts week for me. It's been a phenomenal week. First of all, Miss Lisa was ministering to a lady, and she was speaking to this lady, longtime friend of ours, one of her best friends, and she spoke to this person and said, you need to be back in church. You need to restore your life with God. And the woman started crying, tears rolling to her eyes. And so she had that impact on this lady. And y'all knew, remember Pastor Emmanuel, who was just here. Well, he has history with this same person too. So we came, and I came to visit the person, and Emmanuel began to minister to the lady, and she said exactly what he said, exactly what Lisa said to her. And so the tears started coming again. And while they were interacting, I was sitting there and I was talking to a lady who's a financial officer who does work for us and does work for Lisa's business. I was speaking to this lady, and this lady's an atheist, totally hardened atheist. And so as I was talking to her, God said, and she was telling me about an eye condition that she had. Her eyes were just deteriorating. God said to me, tell her you want to pray for her. And I said, I can't do that. This woman's an atheist. I don't want to create no scenes. You know, this lady started telling me off and telling me who I am and telling me where to go. I just don't want to do that, God. He said, tell her you'll pray for her. So I said, you know, if you want, I'll pray for you. She said, oh, thank you very much. And so I left it at that. And God said, no, 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 no. That's not what I'm talking about. I want you to pray for her now. So I looked at her and said, ma'am, I could, you know, really kind of apprehensive because this lady's an atheist and she's liable to freak out on me, and I just wasn't feeling like that. So I said to her, I said, let me just pray for you right now. You know, I think God wants me to just pray for you right now. And you know what this lady said? Yes, please. Let me tell you something. I don't care what they say they don't believe. There is a longing in the heart of people to know the one who created them. There is a longing deep down inside. And if we don't address the longing, nobody else will. But if we address the longing, you better believe God's going to touch that life. And so I prayed for this woman. And right after I prayed for her, she opened up and started telling me about her life. And started telling me why she had this feeling towards Christianity about. She was telling me all of her pain. And let me tell you something. We have an answer to the pain of this community, to the pain of this world. Jesus Christ is alive and he's able to touch pain. Yeah, but that wasn't it. Had a powerful week. Incredible week. And you know, I don't want to embarrass anybody, my friend over here, but the results of this incredible week sitting right back here. This young man, Zane, right here, my little buddy. He rededicated, recommitted his life to Jesus Christ on Friday morning. And he's sitting right here in church right now. God has a way of moving. But it wasn't just done. Yeah, I mean, this is a crazy week. And then we went down to the pub and the pizza place. It's myself, Marlon, Julie, and Rich, and we went in there, and Julie just, she's so bold, she just walks up to the bar. Come on, devil. And she's unloading, telling people about her life. And Marlon had this one 22-year-old young man hanging on to him. And it looks like he was hanging on to him for dear life. And Rich was doing what he does and speaking to people. But you know, in my heart, I want to address the toughest looking thing in the bar. I'm going after the toughest looking, most dangerous looking man I could address. So I went to this guy, looks like a big biker, he's a big guy, and he had ponytail, tattoos everywhere, and I went up and I was sitting down talking to this guy, and as he was talking to me, I just let him talk, and God began to speak to me. Listen, we need to hear the voice of God. We need to hear. It's not my words that are going to change it, but I tell you what, if you hear his voice, the Bible says, and we speak what he's telling us to speak, he said, don't worry what you're going to say, but I will put into your mouth what you need to say at the right time. And if you just listen to him, we'll have words that people are needing to hear. And I sat there and I listened. I'm talking to this guy, and he's like, yeah, I did this. He's from London. He's telling me about his life and how he was violent. And then I told him about my life, how I almost went for 10 to 15 years to prison for the stuff that I did. And I was sharing with him what happened and how God delivered me. And he's looking at me and he says, yeah, but I don't believe none of that life after death stuff. Well, he didn't say it that nicely. He said, life after death, expletive, you know. That don't fear me. I mean, that don't make me scared. None of that stuff bothers me. So I said, yeah, okay, you don't believe in life after death. And he said, nah, man, we all die. That's it. It's all over with. And God began to fill my heart and say, I want you to begin with this. I want you to tell him, if that's the case, when my son died, the Bible says that graves opened up all around Jerusalem and all the saints got out of their graves. And simply, I want to tell you something right now. That's prophetic right now for you and me. If we get back to the cross, we'll rise up out of the sleepiness of religion and enter into a power dominion that God wants us to have, where we can speak to people. Come on, somebody. And life can rise up in them. That's where he's trying to get us. But I said that to him, and he looked at me like, yeah, that's so what? You know, so what? So I said to him, okay, if that's the case, if there's no life after death, then Jesus, the Bible tells us he died, and on the third day, he rose again. And then he looked at me, and he said, yeah, that's true. And then God said to me, now I want you to tell him this. I want you to tell him the stuff that you struggle with in your mind, and the stuff that's been causing you problems for the majority of your life, the failures of the past, the fear of the past, and the stuff that you've been involved in, which causes your heart to be hard, I want you to tell him that I could heal it. Yeah. I looked at him, and I said those words to him, and you should have saw his face. Whoo! I love it when God speaks. I love it because that takes all the sweat out of it, takes all the pressure off of you, and it allows God to be God in the middle of a situation. Listen, I don't care how dark the pub may be. I don't care how dark the person's life may be. The Bible called us the light of the world. We can go right in the middle of the darkness and shed some light right in the middle of the dark. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? Yeah, we go right in the middle of the darkness, Brother Joel. I don't care how dark it is. There is light enough in you. There is light enough in this place to cause the darkness to retreat. Oh, come on in here. And so I shared that, and you should have saw his face. He was like. So I said, I said to myself, I'm going to leave that with you. I'm going to talk to somebody else now. I said, see you in a minute, bro. Walked away, he turns to Marlon, and he says, that man was like me, but now he's different.
Amen.
He's not like he used to be. He was a violent man like me. Now he's a minister. Beloved, we are all ministers in this room. Every last one of us. Glory be to God. That's what it's about right there. It's not about us going out there and beating them over the head, telling them they're going to hell or anything like that. It's about us bringing the love of Jesus Christ and the light of God and piercing straight into their darkness and bringing hope to their broken hearts. Okay, that's what I believe God wants to do with us. He wants to do that kind of thing. So on the 4th of June, my friends from up in Sheffield, they're going to come, and they're going to, from African Missions, they're going to come, and they're going to bring an African service to us. They're going to bring a choir. A choir?
Yeah.
An African choir they're going to bring. They're going to bring a taster of the Kairos course. Because we want every one of us, I want us to be empowered and equipped. It's not just about me. Listen, my job here as a senior leader of this place is to make sure you are equipped to minister the gospel.
Amen.
And that's what I want to do. I want to see every one of us functioning to the glory of God. And so that's what we're going to do. But how is it going to happen? My heart, my heart is really longing for that. But how is it going to happen? Because really, It's not just about me telling. It's not just about us talking about his goodness. Not just about us talking about the good news. There's got to be a demonstration along with it. In 1 Corinthians 21, if you have your Bibles, go to 1 Corinthians 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 21. And it says, chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm sorry, verse 1. Boy. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And you know what we've done today in modern Christianity is we replaced power with technique. We've replaced power with technique. If we just do this technique, we'll get the results. And if we want to reinstate the results somewhere else, all we have to do is carry out performing this technique. Mm-hmm. But see, that's the problem, because the gospel doesn't want us to focus on results.
That's right.
The gospel wants us to focus on change. The cross is about change. And I'm telling you, if we focus on change, we will see results. Because I have to change in order for myself to affect anybody. If I don't change, if I remain the same, that's religiosity. But God wants us to grow, wants us to change. And in the change, we have results. Listen, the reason why I have a story to tell and you have a story to tell is because you change. You were translated from out of the kingdom of darkness into the power of his glorious light. You were changed. And so now you have a story because you were changed. The only way we continually add to our story is by the continuing change that he is performing in us. And as he changes us, we have a story to tell. How could I talk about his goodness unless I experience it? Oh, come on. Unless I experience his goodness. How can I talk about his power to heal unless I experience his healing? How can I talk about his power to touch my broken heart unless I open up and let him touch my broken heart?
Yeah.
And that's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to do phenomenal things like that. And that's what he wants to do. I believe we've got to come to that point. See, because technique and all of that stuff, that's man's wisdom. But Paul said, I'm not coming to you with men's wisdom. I'm coming to you with power. The cross is the doorway to the power of God. It's got to be the cross. To people out there, it's foolishness. The cross is foolishness. Why are you going to die? Even when Jesus came and he told his disciples, he said to Peter, I must go to Jerusalem and I must suffer. I must be crucified. I must offer up it has to happen. And Peter, what did he say? No, not so, Lord. You don't need to do all of that. We got you. We can hold this down together. We got you. And Jesus said, listen, Peter, you desire the things that be of man. And not the things that be of God. Are we there so far? He wants us to desire what matters to him. So that's men's wisdom. When we get to the point of dealing with techniques and trying to do it through human effort and things of that nature. But God wants to do it through the power of his cross. Now, there are three things I want to get to you real quickly, and then I'm going to be out. Firstly, there is a process that we have to go through, and it's called suffering. You see, we don't talk about that much in the body of Christ because we want to talk about the blessings of the Lord. God has blessed me so much. I'm so blessed. You blessed? I'm blessed. Yeah. God made me to be a blessing. So I got it to bless people with. But we don't become a blessing unless we first go through
the cross.
He said, I want you to pick up your cross daily and follow me. Now, the reason for that is important for us to understand that the cross is a process, in the process of producing power. Remember, go to Luke. Let me just share this with you real quickly. Luke 22. I've been mulling over this for some time now because God really showed me something. And we always look at this particular text and this particular time in Jesus' life as being about prayer. And it is. But it's about something else. And we need to see it because it's important so that we can understand why we go through the process of suffering. And in Luke 22, verse 40. And when he came, before I move on, I want you to remember that he has all of his disciples there. This is just after Peter was challenged and he denied Jesus three times. This is just after that. And now everybody is hunting the disciples. All of the disciples are being hunted. They hunted Peter and they found Peter and they challenged Peter and they said, aren't you one of these? He said, no, I don't know him. So all the disciples are in a place of fear right now because the authorities, the Sanhedrin, all of these guys were hunting them and searching them out. And this is what happens right here. This is what takes place right after that. Verse 40. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. In other words, he was right in the vicinity. They were right there. Can you imagine being so close to Jesus, yet being so physically tired and afraid that you'll fall asleep? The stress on them was incredible. And the Bible says that they fell asleep because they were sorry or they were afraid. How many of you sometimes you become under pressure by life so much? Stuff is coming at you so much that sometimes you skip this time. You don't spend the time that you probably need to spend with him to help you get through the process. But we immediately try to rationalize. We fall asleep. Only if I can get some sleep, this stuff will be over tomorrow. Only if I can just lay down. Maybe tomorrow it'll be. We sing that song, tomorrow. This is by the Winans. I don't know if y'all ever heard that before. I'll give myself tomorrow. I can't remember the words. But it's, we get like that, don't we? Life presses us. And when life presses us, that is the time to cleave to Jesus with all your heart. Not when it's over. Not when everything is going nicely, but in the pressure cooker, it is time for Jesus to be seen for who he is. That's why I like the three Hebrew children so much. They were right there in the middle of that fire. And the Bible says, I don't care what you can say or do, Nebuchadnezzar. We don't care. We know our God is able to deliver us. But even if he does not, we are not going to bow down. And beloved, that has to be in us too. So here they are. They're in this pressure cooker. And it says in verse 41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Important to let him have reign in your will. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed even the more earnestly than he. His sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he had come to his disciples. He found them sleeping. And he said, pray, lest you enter into temptation. But listen, the most important part of what Jesus really wanted to show them, they missed. He wanted to show them how to respond when the pressure comes and the suffering is too much to bear. He wanted to show them how to respond. Because if you respond appropriately, he said, nevertheless, you submit to it. He said, nevertheless, not my will be done. The Bible says an angel came from heaven and strengthened him. I want to tell you, it's not doctrine, but I want to tell you this morning that there is an angel assigned to each and every one of us. That when we submit ourselves to the will of God, he comes and he does special ministry to you and me to equip us and enable us to keep going down that line. Because I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but the pressures of life this week has been weighing on me. I've had so much stuff happen to us. But at the same time, I have known a presence of God that has enabled me to keep going through it. And beloved, that's what God wants to do. It's not just special for ministers. Like I said a minute ago, we're all ministers, and God wants to do the same thing for each and every one of us. Are you hearing? Okay. So that's that. Let me just move from that. I'm said enough. But let me, I lied. Let me say one more thing concerning the suffering. Let me say one more thing concerning that suffering. That when we are going through the suffering, God wants to keep us focused on why we're here. When Jesus was on the cross, he was sent to reconcile man with God, and through that, reconcile man with one another. He was suffering on the cross, and the last thing he says is, he says, "Woman, behold your son." He tells his mother Mary to look at his disciple John, and he says, "I'm going, but you still have a son. I may be going through a struggle, but let me tell you something. We are going through it together. You may be going through a struggle, but we're going through it together." Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Okay. Secondly, he wants to soften our hearts. I believe through the process of the cross, he wants to soften our hearts. I've come across many gracious people in my 30 years of walking with God, but I've come against some of the hardest people I know, and these people is Christians. Some of the hardest people I know, some of them are Christians. Hard. Why is that? Because they just follow the technique, and they become religious and hardened. I don't want to become like that. I want God to keep my heart soft. I want God to keep my heart pliable. I don't want to be critical, overly critical of people because they don't do it the way I do it. I want to be soft before God. Excuse me, but even though I'm the pastor, I left my phone on. Just turn your mobile phones off when you come to church. Oh, Lord. I tell you, it softens our hearts. Our soft hearts will stop competitiveness, criticalness, gracelessness, suspiciousness, minimizing importance of accomplishments of others for self-exaltation. It's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees were known for. They became religious, and so they became the important ones. But let me tell you, beloved, we're all important in this body.
Amen.
Every one of us here this morning are important to God. I believe he wants our hearts to be in sync with him, and you see when we're in sync with God and we have the heart of God and we're moving towards what God has for us, we become benevolent. We become like God. The Bible says in John 3:16, y'all know the familiar scripture, "For God so loved the world that he gave." He gave. And he gave his son. But the thing about it is, not only did he give his son, but it was the best that heaven had to offer. Yeah. He bankrupted heaven on your behalf.
Yeah.
Okay. Thirdly and finally, we want to see a demonstration. We want to see his power demonstrated through us. Now, we read the scripture in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. And what the Apostle Paul was saying, I'm not relying on my knowledge. I'm not relying on my education. I'm not relying on what's been revealed to me by man. I'm relying on what's been revealed to me by Jesus. I'm relying on the power of the cross. Beloved, it's the cross that makes it happen. It's the cross that'll bring it to us. And it's the cross that'll break the power of the enemy over the lives of the people in our community. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, this morning in Jesus' name for your word. I thank you that you have a plan. And I pray that as we look to you, as we proceed in the vision that I believe you gave us as a local church, I believe, God, that you would help us to do it with humility and with desire and with passion. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, can I do something very quickly? There may be some people going through some serious suffering right now, and you're going through a challenge in your life. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for people who are going, who don't even really understand their purpose and are challenged by the lack of the knowledge of their purpose. I want to pray for you. And if that's you, I just want you to just stand to your feet very quickly. I'm not going to prolong this, but you stand wherever you are. Stand, that's right, yes. And we're going to pray, and we're going to believe God to do something phenomenal in your experience right now. In Jesus' name. You just stand. Just stand. Father, I pray. Turn around. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name. For these individuals standing, I pray, God, that you would encourage them right where they are. God, the struggles that they're going through, I pray that you would give them hope to know that you have a reason for them and you're going to fulfill your plan through them and you're going to increase them in every aspect of their life. And I pray, God, in Jesus' name that you would do that. We remove all burdens, all feelings of inferiority and significance, all burdens of fear of not being able to accomplish your plan. And we're believing for you to do it in each and every one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.